I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Business Owners Tell All, What It Takes. Today's episode is one I think a lot of entrepreneurs, I think especially self-starters, are going to connect with. We're joined with Mike Farrell, founder and CEO of Landscape Management Group, and he's based in Columbus, Ohio, serving major cities across the state. Now, what I love about Mike's story is this. He didn't inherit a company. He didn't raise venture capital. He started in 2008 knocking on doors in Centerville, Ohio with a wheelbarrow, a push mower, and a few hand tools trying to pay his way through college. And that hustle turned into Mike's landscaping. So over time, he evolved into a multi-city operation with commercial landscaping, design build services, winter services, all while building a workforce and raising standards in a tough, labor-intensive industry. And with that, I will say, Mike, welcome to the show. Hopefully I got all those details right.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks. Very happy to be here.
So for those who don't know yet, who is Mike Farrell and beyond that business title?
All right. Well, thanks for the intro. That's definitely how I've been coined over the past decade plus, I guess. But the real me, yeah, I'm a business owner. I got two kids, so I'm a father. I'm a musician and I'm an athlete. I think that's usually the four bullet points that I typically say about myself, but we're here to talk about business. So we're going to dive super deep into business. That has been my heart and soul over the past 15 years, and I'm just getting started.
Great. Well, take us back to 2008 then. What made you start knocking on doors with a mower instead of getting like a typical job or other college, you know, what you see other college age kids doing?
Yeah. So I started my business, I think, like most people start their business, which is just, I want to be my own boss. I want to set my own hours. So the truth is, it was in between my first year of college. So just after I get done with freshman year, my dad said, I need to get a job, which of course, I'm not a lazy person, but I didn't want to work for Chipotle. That was my official last job. So I just went around door knocking. I literally made handmade business cards, handed them out, started getting calls, learned how to do basic landscaping things, mulching, planting, sodding. Bought a truck the next year, bought another truck, hired some people. A few years later, built an office. That was my college town. I ended up moving my business there, which was Circleville. Kind of grew the company, got stuck there for about 10 years because I didn't think I could leave. And finally, in 2020, which was not the best year to do it, I went up to Columbus and expanded my operations there. And we've just been growing and growing ever since.
Wow. Well, so in the early days, it doesn't sound like you had any kind of formal business plan, right? Were you operating purely on just hustle? Like you clearly had maybe something that kicked you off to make that move, or have planning become a little bit more intentional? Was there something that sparked that?
Yeah. Okay. So at first, when you said business plan, I said no, but I actually did. I had a little business plan competition in college and I won. All right. This is my little
Perfect.
Humble brag.
It
was small college. No, it was cool. It was competitive. There was good things. So I ended up using that. And I think this was one of my first business lessons, is that nothing goes to plan. Because that thing I looked at a few times and then I just kind of took off and honestly ended up trashing it. Now, maybe that's terrible business advice, but I think business evolves so fast. It's almost impossible, especially in the early stages, to really understand and to have a perfect roadmap because everything is going to change. One of the things that is very important to remember as a business owner is that one of the skills you have to develop is to be able to zig and zag. Being a business owner is unpredictable on so many levels. And if there's anything that I've done well, I think it's been able to adapt, be resilient, just take the punches and keep going. So the business plan
was
cool, but not really useful.
No, that's great. And I think that's definitely part of it. And it sounds like you rebranded. There was some things going on there from Mike's Landscaping and then to Landscape Management Group. Was there any planning in that process? Like, was it like a strategic positioning or growth plan, something like that was going on there?
Yeah, a few things. So first off, naming a company after you is not a good idea.
I know. And you're talking to me and my company's Super Solution. So I'm like, yep, that's what we do when we started. I just haven't changed it, but it's worked for us. So
yeah, I mean, that's cool when you're a small company and you're doing everything, the invoicing, the operations, the sales, the marketing, the recruitment, and you get customer calls and vendor calls. And it's just everyone wants to talk to Mike and they know who to call. So one of the pieces of advice that I read in a book and I really like, it's look big, act small, not the opposite, which was what I was kind of doing. And so part of the rebrand a few years ago was for marketing. And I have a lot to say about marketing. We can get into that. We can go wherever you want to go. But for years, I really think just kind of prideful and arrogant, like most business owners are, thinking I had enough work. I don't need marketing. You'd get calls and SEO and, you know, we'll be your marketing. We'll build landing pages for you. We'll do whatever. I always pushed them away because I thought I had enough work for myself and I had plenty of leads coming in. It was more of just my limitations as a business owner operationally. So the moment that I really committed to marketing, and part of that was the rebranding, that's when we really started to blow up. Marketing is something that is like a secret weapon for small businesses if you can really figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is something that everyone has to kind of a hump when it comes to scaling, is getting beyond whatever your limiting belief is at that moment. For you, it was the marketing, and for others, it's other things. But I do think that there becomes a moment where you have to push beyond what's comfortable and what you know to something that you didn't think before that point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how do you approach annual business planning today? Like if you obviously looked at it differently 10 years ago and you've learned some things and you know that you've got to zig and zag and nothing really goes according to plan. But that being said, I'm sure that there is some strategy. Walk us through what that process actually looks like inside your company now.
Yeah. Okay. So it's nice to have a plan. At least you got to look way down the road and you got to walk towards something. Okay. So having a vision is good, but along the way, there are so many, you know, alternate little paths that maybe get you back on that main path, or boulders in your way, or hurdles to jump. So the overall business planning for me, I try to keep it simple because it's really easy to overcomplicate things. So in the different segments of the business, so let's take sales, for example, because that's a really easy one. Let's look at what our average contract value is, which this year we're pushing $100,000 average contract value, which is double the year before, and which was almost double from the year prior. So if you look at our ACV, then we know how much revenue we want to push. Well, how many leads do we need? Of those leads, let's say for easy math, 1,000 leads. So we got 1,000 leads. What are we going to have a conversation with? Let's say a 50% conversation rate, so 500. And then of that conversation rate, how many of those are we sending proposals to? Let's say, for easy math, half of those. And of those, we close half of those. So you whittle it down, you say, okay, what's left, what we're going to convert times our ACV, that's going to yield our revenue. Well, based on what we're planning, is that enough leads? If not, let's go get more. And then you look at marketing. So, well, what's our CPR, cost per lead? So that many leads that we need times this much money per lead on average after all the clicks and impressions and all the things you spend on Google, Meta, everything. Then you can see how much marketing dollars we got to spend. And you just kind of keep going down the line. So sales to marketing to operations, everything can simply math out. You know, you start with the end in mind, just work it backwards, all the way down to the daily goals, which is one thing we've really tried to discipline ourselves and our management to look at daily trackers to make sure we're on pace. And if we're off pace on anything, why? How can we get back on track? And then that's what we focus on. So I don't mean to say, you know, we don't have a plan. We have a plan, but along the way, there's just so many things that blow up in your face and you just got to figure out what to do. You know, this person quit, that customer's suing us, you know, this job fell through, or, you know, the system, we need to change our entire system and adopt a new CRM, or, you know, whatever it is, there's just so many things. And that's, I think when you take the planning of how to plan, what to do, that's a good skill. But then you got to be able to combine that with the ability to implement and execute.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Well, kids, don't ever subscribe to the thought that you're never going to use math, because you just algebraed everything out for us today. And it's so true, because I was just actually talking to my sales guy this week, and I'm like, it's just a math problem. Like, what do we need to do? How do we need to get there? These are our goals. And both of us were like, yeah, here, these are the numbers. This is what we have to do. And so I was then speaking to my marketing team and was like, mm-hmm. look, guys, like, these are our goals. So like, and they were like, okay, yeah, then we're aiming for 100,000 emails, you know, in X amount of time. Like, it was just like an easy plug and play. But I think this is where your word problems come into play. If you remember word problems back in the day, it's like, yes, here's, okay, I got the formula out of it. But what they didn't tell you is X, Y, and Z, all the other things you listed. So-and-so quit. This CRM, you know, isn't going to work for you. This, that, or the other thing, like this contract fell through. So there's all these other external factors that come into the problem solving that I think the plan is essential for, because you're not changing the backbone of it, which is, these are still our goals. These are still our metrics. This is what we want to hit. It's maybe just how we have to do it. That's where the zig and zag comes through. And that's where I think most business owners get stopped up, and they keep doing this, they get stuck in this cycle of just focusing on zigging and zagging all of the time, because you really can get stuck in that. And that's why they just stay their size and stay. And that's okay. I think for some, it becomes very fulfilling and manageable. And that's where they're comfortable in doing. And I think for you, you kind of had a moment where you wanted to push through that and not get caught up in that cyclone and say, hey, I'm going to take a step back and maybe move to another city and scale this and do the same thing over there. What, when you're planning for growth into new cities or service lines, how do your metrics change, or what indicators tell you that it's time to make that step or that move?
Yeah. Well, right now there's a lot of work where we are. So I'm not aggressively trying to go to a new city. We already take care of all of Central Ohio, from Delaware all the way down to Chillicothe, which is a huge range. So, but the plan in the future is going to be, well, it is acquisitions. And so I need to optimize what we have first. I don't want to scale problems. And there are things in our company, now it'll never be perfect, but there are things in our company that I got to clean up operationally, sales-wise, marketing-wise, accounting-wise, system-wise. So TBD on that, but I would love to maybe come back on later and share that with you. But one thing you said just about, you know, zigging and zagging and finding discipline to sit down and control your day, something I really try to keep in mind is, are you managing your calendar, or is your calendar managing you?
Oh, that part right there. Yes.
Yeah. Or your lack of a calendar, is your day managing you, or are you managing your day? Right.
Right. Right.
As a business owner, there's so much coming at you all the time. It's really easy. I could just sit at my desk, do nothing, and fill up my day with questions, walk-ins, calls, whatever. So the more, as a business owner, that you can truly control your day and work on the most important, highest priority things, that is going to dictate your success. I have went through entire years, because remember, I've been in business for 15 years. I know I look young, but 15 years is a long time. There have been full years where I've just kind of let loose. You let me just let life happen to me. And it was a disaster. So yes, you have to have some sort of plan so you know what to focus on. And that is the key right there, is focusing on the highest priority items every single day.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we haven't even talked about financials. I mean, yes, we had the math with the goals and the leads, and this is what we want to get to, but how do you plan financially to survive downturns or unpredictable seasons? Because let's talk about landscaping. It's seasonal. It's heavily affected by economic shifts. Yep. That's, you know, one of those things that it's like, oh, I think I can do this myself. Or, you know, it's maybe one of the first things to go. So how do you plan for that?
Right. So, okay. So we do an annual budget, and I'm just going to start with sharing everything I've done wrong. Okay. So
that's good. That's the best way to learn lessons, I think. It's like, okay, well, we know what not to do. That's a start.
Right. So there've been years where I've been hyper hyper focused on budgets, like down to the penny. Then there've been years that I've completely ignored it. And I kind of landed on this on a few years where I was evaluating everything by percentage of income, because it's hard to plan in a heavy growth phase. You know, what's our budget line item for things that may or may not grow, or things that heavily change based on revenue. So things like materials or cost of goods sold. I don't mean to get too nerdy. I'll try to keep it high level. But if we...
These are business owner listeners. Everybody should know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't... If you're not really sure how much you're going to grow, let's say like, I think we're going to grow 40% or we're shooting for it. Then when you go to your budget, obviously your cost of goods sold is going to grow by that much as well. So I kind of landed at this place of evaluating my P&L by percentage of income. That was helpful for a while, but then I got lazy again because I didn't actually budget things. So now I'm back to, with a little bit more experience, actually analyzing line by line a real annual forecast and evaluating budgets versus actuals every single month. If something's off, then we address it. I've kind of went through this full cycle in business where I've been way too detailed and not detailed enough, and now back to detail with maybe more skill and more of a framework on how I should run the business.
And that's a really good point. Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And not just, I mean, we're talking about financials here, but I think it's really good to kind of take that and apply it to other areas of the operation, people, efficiencies, processes, you know, planning even. But it's taking that higher level perspective, stepping away for a moment and being like, hey, right now, I need to just go off percentages. We're scaling, we're growing, we're planning for 40%. So like, let's just spread that 40% all throughout. It's going to get us where we need to go. And sometimes that high level view takes you to where you need to go, but it maybe not be appropriate to stay there all the time. Like you said, you notice, right, hey, I maybe got a little lazy, whatever it was that you needed to get back into it. And but it is okay to take those times when appropriate and say, hey, I need to stay right here and let the details, really not sweat the details. And then there are other times where you need to lean back in and be like, all right, let's look at this line by line by line by line and really stay disciplined in that. And yep. And I love, love, love what you said about, I'm not going to scale. How did you say it?
I'm not going to scale problems.
I'm not going to scale the problems. And so the only way to know how to really get down to that is to really look at the details and pick those apart, look at those variances or the gaps or whatever you happen to be evaluating and say, here's how we're going to fix this. Because that is what happens. And I see that in all areas. It's really applicable to business. You can see it in all areas, all walks of life, no matter what you're doing. Like, your problems follow you. So we see a lot, I think, now, especially in our culture, and I'm not going to try to get all too deep with this, but it's a really good point in that what we're seeing is people just cutting off and moving on. But there's a couple things that happen there. We don't ever get really deep. We just kind of stay surface level with things. But two, whatever it is you're cutting off for, whatever it is you're not addressing at that moment, you're bringing with you to the next. And so then it kind of happens quicker and more often. And that really, really happens in business too. And so it really is in business and in life. And I think it's just looking at that. There are times where you can back up and look at the problem as a whole. And there are times where you need to zoom in and lean in and look at the details and really solve that. So
yes,
that was the only other thing that we didn't talk about. We talked about marketing and sales and numbers now. Let's talk people and operations. How do you forecast like your labor needs and manage workforce planning, especially in an industry that depends so heavily on people and performance? Like, right, you just started and it was just you with your supplies and your, like, everything, all your equipment. But that's a really big step, especially in this kind of an industry where, hey, now you're going to be able to double if you get somebody else and doing what it is that you do. But how do you ensure that it's exactly how you would like it to be, you know, and they're giving the same level of service and all that kind of stuff. So talk a little bit about your journey in that.
Okay. So your specific question was about forecasting, but I'm going to go a little bit off script here.
Yeah, okay, that's okay. I was kind of like brainstorming as it was coming out.
Because I did want to address something which you tied in nicely, people. Because one of the main problems I've had over the years is the I guess the lack of understanding that as we grow, people won't grow with us. People aren't as committed to developing themselves equally. So I'm developing myself. I'm developing my business. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm working hard every day. Some people don't have that mindset or not equally. So it's sad, but you got to kind of clean the room every few years as a business if you're actually growing. That seems really cold and harsh, but you're actually doing them a favor by letting them go rather than dragging them along into a company or into a vision that they don't see or they don't want to operate in. So that's actually happened, well, at least four times over the past 15 years. And actually recently it happened again. We let go of six managers. It wasn't a mean firing. It was like, here's where we're going. Are you guys in or out? And they weren't in. What I've realized over that, over these four experiences, is every single time that happens, we get better. Every single time. Because you don't realize these people are actually holding you back, and you get rid of them, and that you just expose the problem. You so clearly see, well, this is what we need to fix, and this is who we need to bring into that role now. And then this leads me to my next point. When it comes to forecasting and planning, I know you read it in books and you hear people speak about it, you know, people, but you don't understand. Like, it really is people. It really, really is the people. And good people don't want to follow a bad leader. And great people, they have to have a great leader. And so to get those people at the company, you have to have a vision. So when it comes to forecasting and people, the number one job of mine right now is recruiting and selling the vision. So I recently got out of sales. I recruited from giving a great vision, a phenomenal sales manager who's building his own sales team. It's amazing. This is the first time that I haven't actually had to sell stuff, but I'm still in sales. I'm selling the vision to ops people, to marketing people, to everybody else who's coming into the company. That has been a massive, massive lesson for me. That's something you just don't want to delegate until you get, you know, way bigger. But even then, you should still be recruiting those high-level people, because those people are what it's going to take to get to the next level.
I love it. I love it. How big is your team now?
So at this current moment, 17. We'll probably be in-house. In-house. Okay. And then we have, this is our management, our designers, our admin, our accountants, administrators. I said that. The outs the in the field, I'd say we have about 50 to 60 people at any given time. It kind of fluxes throughout the season.
Okay.
So we have a nice, healthy labor force. And then they're all managed by PMs and work with the sales team, designers, all that.
Well, you said a couple of things, and I think you might appreciate this analogy, because I think you were kind of a little bit, not apologetic about it, but just in the way that you were presenting it, like, oh, I know this sounds bad. No, I actually think that it is such a very healthy thing to do. And as a landscaper, you would appreciate the pruning process. It's actually necessary for growth. It's actually something that you have to do if you want to keep growing, and not just with your own internal team, sometimes with clients too. And that's a tough one. That was like a big growth step, and I think a big maturity step as a business owner, at least for me personally. And when I watch other business owners grow as we work with them as well, is like, okay, every time I talk to you, you're talking about this client or this customer or whatever. And you kind of look at the 80-20 rule. Like,
this 80-20 rule. Absolutely.
All of your time is being spent on this. But why? They're only bringing in, you know, but we have this, I think, mental, we talked about limiting beliefs and things that keep us in the same place. And I think that's a fear that people have, is pruning your customer base as well, and really getting down to who are we really serving? What is our absolute, like, ideal avatar, and how do we get there? Especially when we've been with this, you know, group, or maybe hopefully you don't have a group of them, but you know, you had that one or two that's just been with you for so long and you don't know how to move on from that. Yeah. But I do think that the really good point is that lesson that your mom tells you, or your parents tell you, or your teachers, you know, like, oh, don't get caught up in the wrong crowd. If so-and-so is going to do this, are you going to do? The answer is yes. You are going to be who you are around. So if you want to have top tier people in your company, you have to have other people that are also top tier to surround them with, because that's just how it's going to be. And yeah. And who you have on your team is how you're going to perform. It just is what it is. So it wasn't just our moms and our grandmas and, you know, our parents telling us these lessons of, oh, don't get caught up in the wrong. There, it is statistically backed. There are so many studies on this and how far you're going to go and what you're going to be involved in, down to, I think, it's really crazy, and who your core group, even personally, if you look at your friend groups, down to the hundreds you're making in salaries.
Yes.
Similar, which is crazy because I have no idea what my friends make. But if you actually like go and look at it, I would assume they're all about the same. But that makes sense, right? Because they're in your neighborhood and your yep. home value is, you know, probably about the same, and they're in your community. So a lot of that makes a lot of sense. Proximity and who you surround yourself and where you are positioning yourself around people is yeah. is really what you're going to get. So I think that that's a really good growth step that you kind of came across when you went through that process.
Yeah, it's hard to cut out a cancer in the company. And so, or it's
especially
hard to,
when you don't recognize it, that's what it is.
It's hard
sometimes
to cure cancer. Sometimes if somebody has that mindset where they've been with you for 5 years, they were there when you sucked yeah. and you had nothing in order, and they saw you as a weak leader and not organized and whatever you were going through personally, because we're humans too, right?
Yeah.
So we go through personal things, and these people who were there at that time, that could be a really bad thing because they never see you a different way. Where these new people who come in, they see you as, oh, wow, like, you know, Mike, he owns this big company and he's the owner, and I get to talk to him and I'm going to come prepared to meetings when I ask him questions, and I'm not going to bug him and call him, you know, when I shouldn't call him. That, man, that's a great swap. You know what I mean? So, yeah. and so one of the other things I wanted to touch on, because this is real advice that I would give to anybody, is going back to the basics. So when you get these new people, it's so important to manage them right, to not make the same mistakes. And mm-hmm. there are very simple things in business that you can do. And everyone's heard about these things, but no one does them. SOPs and KPIs. Those are the things. It doesn't matter what business, what industry. When somebody comes in, you should have, as a business owner, now this is hard, monotonous, diligent work, you should have a whole thing of SOPs linked to their job description. Here's what your job description is. Here you go. And then click these little links. These are all the SOPs for how you do your job. And the first few days that they get here, it should just be like, watch these videos, read the stuff, ask me questions, how you doing? I think that is where so many business owners go wrong. And I'm only speaking from experience. I've hired amazing people who I just trashed because
yeah.
I got them in to do a thing. And before long, they were doing something totally different. And I never really put them through the training. But SOPs are not it. KPIs, those are the second component. You got to hold people accountable.
Right.
You have to. Yeah. If people don't have a target, they're going to miss every time. So hold them accountable. There shouldn't be too many. Don't go crazy, because you know how we are. We'll write a whole spreadsheet of 35 KPIs, just three to five. Here are your core. Here's a couple incentives. Make sure they match what they're doing and they're very in tune with their job description. And then just look at those once a month or once a week.
Mike, this is gold. So good. So good. I just lost track of time because we were touching on all parts of the business and it was so good. But before we wrap up, we ask every guest the same question on this show. From your experience, from wheelbarrow days to leading a multi-city company, what does it really take to be a business owner?
Resilience. Major resilience.
It's really good. Yeah. And we talked about all the reasons why. I mean, we covered everything. I think that word really sums it up. And if you can build that, it's not something that you're just born with. It's something I think that's forged, right? So Mike, this has been powerful. I think especially hearing how your planning evolved from survival mode to strategic expansion. I mean, really, that's really what it sounds like it is now. And I think a lot of business owners start with a hustle. So I think that's a lot of commonality that I see in entrepreneurs. But staying in business requires structure, discipline, intentional planning, like we talked about. So I appreciate your transparency, sharing your journey, yeah, showing what disciplined growth looks like. I mean, it's wonderful. It's evident. So to people listening, though, if this episode brought you value, please share it with other business owners who need to hear it. There's so many good things in here, really key takeaways. But Mike, if anyone wants to find you, your company, if they're in Ohio or surrounding areas, how can they get a hold of you or find you in any way?
I guess my Instagram. I'm not great on social. I'm getting better. Mike D. Farrell. That's my Instagram handle, or our website, landscapemgtgroup.com.
Great. landscapemanagementgroup.com. This is Business Owners Tell All. We talk about what it takes. And if you enjoyed this, like I said, like, subscribe. Otherwise, we will see you on the next one.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.